On the line, I've got Peter Storey. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron.
So, folks, Peter became Raglan Community Board Chair at the same time that Clint became Raglan Councillor. So you're sort of new guys in the roles together. Did you know Clint at all before that time?
No, I didn't. I kind of knew who he was, but I'd never had a conversation with him, no.
So you didn't have a lot of expectations about how whether you could work together or anything like that?
At that point in time, no. After our first community board meeting, I guess we spent a bit of time at the pub chewing the fat, and we sort of got to know each other.
Yeah, okay. Clint always said that, I remember him saying quite a few times, that he took the role to get things done around Raglan, because things hadn't sort of been getting done for a while. And you guys were landed in a pretty big project right from the start, weren't you?
Yes, we... I guess both of us were motivated by the same thing, the fact that nothing had happened in Raglan, and looking around the Waikato district, there was, you know, lots of developments in Narrawahi and Huntly, and Raglan was just falling by the wayside. So that was our, our joint motivation to put our hand up and say, hey, let's go and do something. And we basically, we got elected. Our first meeting, I think, was November, and before Christmas, we'd pushed, Clint and I in a meeting with engineers, had pushed the go button on the Bankard Street redevelopment, which proved to be, you know, a very big expensive project for town.
Yeah, and you guys literally had to, I think you were telling me yesterday, you had to literally make the decision about whether that was going to happen or not with the council staff.
Yeah, that's correct. The because of the changeover and the timing, council needed to know before Christmas so that the contractors could get organised and get ready to, you know, hit the ground running straight after Christmas. And they needed a decision. And Clint and I just sort of shrugged, looked at each other and said, well, let's go. Why not? We didn't realise. And then we drove over to, our meeting was in Hamilton. We drove over together and we didn't realise basically the authority that the roles gave us, and it was like, as we drove back, I said, well, let's see how this goes. But it turned out very successfully.
And you guys were actually, like, you didn't just, like, help with the decision to go ahead, you were actually quite heavily involved with the process all the way through, weren't you?
Yeah, well, it turned out that we asked that we be involved in the meeting, in the weekly meetings, so that we could see how it was going, because apparently they just change things as they go along because of, you know, they find different issues and they need decisions, and often those decisions have to go back to the councillor or the community board. So we just said, well, look, let us attend the meetings and we can make a decision on the fly. And council or council staff were supportive of that, and so it worked out very good. In fact, I'm sure to date it's still the only roading project in Raglan that's come in well under budget.
Yeah, the roading projects aren't known for coming in under budget that often.
No, they had allocated a certain amount of money, and basically we had to find other things to do. So next to the Raglan radio station, the Tarsiel car park, that was part of that, using up that extra money.
I remember that. Perhaps Clint had been parking there when he was doing his radio show, and he knew how slippery it was getting in winter.
Yeah, that was his contribution, definitely.
Yeah. So, what was the project that you guys managed to get happening that Clint was involved with that was probably the biggest surprise that you thought you might not ever be able to do?
Well, there were several, but again, right in the early days, and I think it was when council staff were more patient with us novices. I had for years been, you know, keeping my ear to the ground, and you hear grumblings and things. And there had been Nero Street, what is now Wee Nero Street. Nero Street was how the locally we had approached council several times since 1946 to change the name. And it had always fallen on deaf ears. And so we, Clint made representation to the council, and surprisingly they agreed. So we drove that and got that done pretty much straight away, which was a big surprise. It was a surprise to the iwi as well. So that was a quite an achievement, we felt.
Yeah, and I know that Clint was really involved with getting the museum rebuilt, and I do remember him saying to me that some people thought it was a council project, but it was way more than that, because council didn't fund, I don't know, not that much of it. There had to be a lot of work done to get funding from elsewhere that I believe Clint was involved with.
Yes, we had to raise, you know, it was basically you raise a dollar and get you can get funding for two for one deals, and also we pushed council, Waikato District Council, to sell off several of the paper roads in Raglan to help fund that, also to finish the rec centre in Cross Street. So, you know, they cried no money on all these projects, and so we said, righto, we went around town, we found the paper roads, which were never going to be used for anything, and council changed titles and sold those, and that funding was used for those projects, again, driven by Clint.
Right, right. Do you know what perhaps the thing would be that Clint's most proud of that he did in town, that he was involved with in town? It could be a hard question, this one.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, the museum was always a biggie for him. There were so many. I mean, we obviously Bankard Street. I made a wee bit of a list of things I could remember. Yeah. We did the original or the last sewage system upgrade. We there was Extreme Waste. I'm sure Extreme Waste was his main was one of his great achievements. Or he felt. The original 6-year contract for that, the new footbridge, as I say, the museum, the industrial lands, we got council to agree to change designations for the industrial area, the first wharf upgrade, the one of the things Clint was very pushed very hard for was the new surf club. Getting that sorted in the car park ceiling and things, the Marnie Bay toilet block and change room. And of course the banning of the dogs in the main street. That was one of his one of the things he really was passionate about.
Oh, right, that's since changed, I believe.
It's since changed, yes, and he has talked about it changing as we sat down and had coffees and watch dogs wander by.
Yeah. So for those projects wherever there's extra money required from council, how hard is it to get council to spend some extra money in your community?
Well, it's very hard, and it's lobbying, and you know that was Clint's forte, because we have one councillor, and at the time there was 13 councillors district wide,
yeah.
And Clint was one of them. So you could never guarantee you can never get a majority, I guess, is what I'm saying. So there was a lot of trade-offs, you know, I'll vote for this if you vote for that and so on. And Clint was clearly very good at that.
Right.
Because we did, in the 6 years that we worked together, there was a lot of projects done. And subsequent to that, I don't think there's been so many because I guess council have sort of felt that because of Clint, Raglan's had enough for the meantime anyway.
Right, right. Well, maybe we can start telling them it's been a while since we had enough.
Yeah, it's time. It is time, definitely.
Yeah. Now, you were, I know, talking to you yesterday, you were driving Clint to a lot of his medical appointments over the last couple of years. How was that experience?
I drove to Auckland. I think it was 14 times we drove up and back to Auckland for specialist treatments and appointments. Several times to Hamilton. I can't remember how many, you know, 6 or 8 times, I can't remember. Just for specialist appointments and things. We talked a lot on our trips. A big focus on our trips was finding the next toilet stop.
Right.
So if anyone wants to know where they all are between here and Auckland, I'm the man.
Right.
So it was really interesting. Clint and I were I guess philosophically polar opposites, a bit like Alan Sanson and Clint. We had different political views, but you know, it didn't stop us talking things through, and nothing was taboo. We he was very, very good at, putting aside differences and trying to see the other point of view, which is great.
Yeah, and I was very aware here at the station that he was very good at staying calm when everyone about him was losing their heads a little bit. I'd seen that literally happen a couple of times, so yeah.
Yeah, I think he always had an exit strategy, I suppose, and he was planning ahead. He was planning ahead. Any conversation, he kind of had the last word in his mind pretty much at the start of the conversation.
And I guess, see, I want to squeeze in an interview with Andy White as well. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, because he knew Clint before we did. But what's your lasting memory of Clint and the work he did in the community?
He was totally focused or fixated on Raglan, on the community, and he did. I don't think anybody could have done better in terms of negotiating deals with the Waikato District Council for our community. I look around and what has been achieved in town, and Clint's hands are on it. He's really he was totally focused on Raglan, and I don't think there's anyone could do a better job, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's high praise indeed, Peter. Thank you for your time this morning.